The South African High Court ruled in favour of the Chamber of Mines in terms of the once-empowered, always-empowered principle, which entitles mining companies to keep its black empowerment status even if a black partner exits its stake in the firm. One hopes that this brings the third iteration of the mining charter closer to finalisation, as uncertainty around the charter has deterred investment into the sector, which of course accounts for, 8% of the country's GDP. Minister of Mineral Resources Gwede Mantashe joins us on the line now to discuss what the ruling means for transformation in this space. Minister, thanks so much for your time this evening. So, as I say, the High Court granting a declaratory order on the once empowered, always empowered rule for BEE ownership at mining companies. Are you happy with the judgment?
You must recall that the predecessor of my predecessor took the decision that within industry, they must get a declaratory order on the matter. This is what is happening now. So that order happens in the middle of the process that we're in, where we are actually to sort out all the disagreements on the charter. We welcome it as a contribution, but we'll look into it. It will be a good input to what we're doing.
What this means, of course, is that holders of mining rights, Minister, would not be obliged to top up black ownership of its mines to 30% if ownership has to fall below that level. So how does government start making this, its empowerment ambition or transformation agenda work within this ambit now?
Now, there are two aspects that we must look at. Is that, let's say, for example, a main owner of the company dumps a B partner. We'll have to look into that case. But sometimes it is also not correct for me as a B partner to speculate with the allocation that is given to me, where when the shares go up, I sell all of them, walk away, and then that main company is expected to keep, to actually replace me. But when I sold my shares, I didn't look into that. We're going to discuss all those issues because we don't just see one side of it. We see both sides, that investors in the mining industry must appreciate that it's not a speculative industry. It's a long-haul investment industry. And I think there's a positive side to it, but it will be put on the table as well, busy looking into the charter.
Minister, when it comes to the latter, how do we start getting black partners to stay on and hold on to their stakes that are garnered in mining firms?
You see, I think if you want to invest in mining, as you take that decision, appreciate that it is a long-haul industry. If, for example, you tell you bought that state during exploration, you must know that there will be a long lead time before, after the exploration, to sink a shaft and that's what begin mining. And people who are in a hurry, I think they should look for other sectors. That's my own view.
Absolutely.
And therefore, it's not all negative. We must just discuss it and find a mechanism of managing it.
What kind of tone do you see this setting for the shaping and developing of the new mining charter, Minister? Because some have said that this ruling gives mining companies extra muscle when going into negotiations.
No, we're actually engaged in positive with all stakeholders, including communities, by the way. I'm having my first community consultation process in Witbank tomorrow, because we want people to understand the charter, commit themselves to the process, and we can work together. The environment is the same, is more positive, we are respecting one another, and the tone is quite warm among the partners.
Of course, as you say, the environment or the tone has changed overall. Do you see much, muscling and compromise needing to be made? How tough a tussle do you see this being nevertheless, Minister?
I normally don't talk of compromises. I talk of doing the right thing for the industry. And if that thing will make the industry work, it will benefit the workers, it will benefit communities. I always tell people when I talk to them that the only thing that will make all the stakeholders benefit from mining is when there is mining happening.
Absolutely. Do you see this being finalized by June? Is that realistic, viable enough, a timeline target?
I think it is possible. We're moving with snack-break speed. We're engaging, we're committed, we've got the drive, we've got the determination.
While we've got all parties at this stage seemingly singing off the same hymn sheet, very optimistic about where things are headed, Minister, you've also got to be cognizant of the challenges. What do you foresee being the biggest challenge on this path to June?
Come again?
What do you foresee being the biggest challenge in the period to June?
The challenge to June is commitment of all the parties. Parties must go and participate in the process, because if you boycott the process, you're not going to deter from moving and implementing the duty, what we should do. And therefore, the challenge is that people must go there and have their views there, so that by the time we produce the final charter, there's no noise.
As you say, you've gotten a buy-in from the mining companies, you've got buy-in from communities. What about labor and unions themselves?
Unions are involved. In the first encounter, AMCU was not there. It is back in the process now.
Okay, so things signaling a positive momentum. Minister, thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That was Minister of Mineral Resources, Gwede Mantashe.